Hello. I hope you are having a great day. It is time for another edition of the Cool Soul Roar podcast. And I'd like to tell you about an event going on here in the Atlanta metropolitan area. It is my chapter. That's right. I am a member of the Pi Alpha Omega chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. And we are hosting a mental wellness symposium called The Underlying Truth 2, which is taking place Saturday, April the 29th from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Andrew and Walter Young Family YMCA. That's located at 2220 Campbellton Road. And we'd love for you to come out. It's a free event for the community. Let's tap into mental wellness. Let's not be afraid to talk about it. If you would like to register, please do so at theunderlyingtruth.eventbrite.com. I'd love for you to join me there. I'll be hosting that. So if you're in the area on April the 29th, we'd love to have you. Okay. Hopefully I will see you there. Okay. Also, we need your subscription. Download, subscribe, and also write a 5-star review for the Cool Sora podcast. All right. You write a review and you could be the review of the week. All right. Well, today we are joined by a cool Sora of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, Nicole Garner Scott. She is everything PR. Yes, she is. She is the president of the Garner Circle PR, but also she is the mastermind behind 100 Female Entrepreneurs. She has an online curriculum that is launching in early May called Make Me More Money, and she will talk all about that and how she perfected her business and learned all of the right things to do and how to continue to grow your business. So entrepreneurs out there, this one is good. If you have just questions about how to do what you need to do for your business, she probably will answer a lot of those questions in her conversation. And please take advantage of her course at makememore.money. Okay, that's makememore.money for information on her curriculum, okay? So here's Building an Empire with Cool Soul of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, Nicole Garner Scott. Enjoy. You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all.
I am a cool soror of
What's up y'all? I'm a cool soror of
Hi, I am a cool soror of
Podcast hosted by me, Rashawn Ali. It is another edition of the Cool Soul Roar podcast, and we are joined by somebody who I've known for quite some time. She's a serial entrepreneur. Yes, she is. I think she thinks of ideas in her sleep and then she goes and executes them the next day. Nicole Garner Scott joins the Cool Soror podcast. Hello, how are you today?
Hi, Soror. How are you?
I am well, and she's calling me Soror, and you are a Cool Soror of
Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Welcome to the show. Oh my goodness. So this has been a long time coming, Nicole. I'm just really happy to have you a part of the show. You know, we focus a lot on entrepreneurs. A lot of guests that we've had have been entrepreneurs, which is great. Mm-hmm. And I've only known you as an entrepreneur. Have you been an entrepreneur your entire adult life?
Just about.
Yeah.
When I graduated, well, I started my agency when I was still in school.
Okay.
But I was doing the 9 to 5 right when I graduated, and then doing 5 to 9 with my own company.
Okay.
So I worked for an agency for that first year when I graduated, and then they had budget cutbacks and everything else, and that's when I went full-fledged into the Garner Circle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you said that you had some, you know, really great mentors when it came to PR. Tell me a little bit about that and how you were able, the knowledge that you were able to gain from those mentors.
My mentors were like a blessing from God, because I was getting into a space, well, PR, marketing, lifestyle management, et cetera, is all a very competitive space.
It is very.
And I didn't realize that at the level that it was. So when I started my company, I went back to some of my internship providers who were women. And, you know, I was like, well, can you help me? I have questions on this. And no response. Mm-hmm. And it was before I started my own company. It was like, oh, you know, we care about you. We'll give you all the feedback. But as soon as I started my company and started getting business, they were like, well, you're basically a competitor. So it was no feedback, no growing the next generation or anything. So I was really blessed with some different mentors, one being Dion Hafey. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know her.
She's I don't know her too. She is, okay.
Mm-hmm. But she does a lot of tech in Atlanta and just different things. And she took me under my wing as far as understanding how to push forward business-wise. And so not necessarily so much PR, but just being a better businesswoman. Sherry Riley was a mentor for me. And she... I just felt like everything she did was big from the first time I met her. It was never small moments. It wasn't like, well, let me do this or let me. Every time I would talk to her, she'd be like, okay, well, we're doing this across the nation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I would be across the nation too.
Right.
And so she was, and she's very genuine, and she very, very much so still to this day listens.
Yes. I mean, you're telling me everything that I know about her as well. Yeah.
So, and she's always there for you. So that was a great mentor in itself. And then I had different mentors in other areas as I started to need specific guidance on things.
Mm-hmm. And because of the lack of, well, that experience you had when you reached out to people in the beginning, mm-hmm. is that why you're so passionate about giving back now and making sure entrepreneurs who are coming up now are well fed with the knowledge?
It is, because that was my 100% my way of getting to where I am. It was definitely a lot of people opening doors for me. I didn't come from an entrepreneurial family. I can't even say that they were just like, yay, go, you know, they believed and encouraged, but it wasn't any direction. Mm-hmm. It's not like a blueprint was there. I didn't have a grandfather who had 17 restaurants or, you know, some people come from those environments. So a lot of what I had to do was from outside people, and they really, really helped me. So I've always been very passionate about that. And then two, I learned a lot of lessons the hard way.
Yeah, you get by experience, hands-on experience. Yep.
And I just didn't think it was so necessary for someone to go through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I always promised myself when I got to a certain space or place in life, I would give back in that mind frame, because you don't have to go through that much.
Some of that stuff you can avoid.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, just with talking to people mm-hmm. and getting insight on what they've gone through.
When you started the Garner Circle, do you remember your first client and what that experience was like? Or was it a corporation? Was it a person? What was it?
So my first client was actually, and this is how the Garner Circle came to life. It was my senior year of college. I was working on a project for Delta where mm-hmm. they were trying to get young African-American boys interested in the world of aviation.
Okay.
And the agency I was working with, this was their little pro bono client. They didn't really care about it. Mm-hmm. I threw myself all the way into it. I thought it was excellent. These boys got to go to the Smithsonian, and they got to take these private flights. And it was just so amazing. You could see like these boys crying and their parents being like, we never even took a flight before, and now we have the aviation. So I threw myself into it. So at the end of my internship, the client was like, well, hey, you seem very interested in this. Mm-hmm. We want to hire you out to lead this project.
What a blessing.
Right. And so they were like, well, just send us over your EIN information and your business stuff, right. et cetera. And, you know, we'll kick this off next week. I was like, oh, yeah, no problem. So I hung up like, what? First off, what is the EIN? And a business bank account, and oh Lord, I'm behind. And I was on the phone with the IRS trying to get that part taken care of and get everything. So that ended up being my first client from that. After that, I ended up working with a really cool group of women called Three Brown Girls.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like your second client.
Yeah.
And you did some great things with them. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It was Kim Porter, Ebony Electra, and Nicole Johnson. And, they did some large things in the city of Atlanta where with bringing, the experience of real music and live music back, and they would collaborate people like Diddy and joy, mm-hmm. or it would just be so many different genre parallels that they would do. Janelle Monáe performed. That was when she just began in the city.
Yeah.
That was when Diddy first saw her and Big Boy first saw her. And, you know, just a lot of things were happening from that.
And Three Brown Girls, they were the catalyst to, like, bring her on
yes.
at these events. Yeah,
yes.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And so at that point, they were fine with just being them, and I was like, oh no, we could go far with this. So I reached out to VH1. They covered them. I got them on MTV, hosting, doing correspondent work on red carpets. Just a lot. I had a great amount of success with them, mm-hmm. and from that, it just opened up a lot of doors. So that was in the beginning phases. It opened up too many doors because yeah. I didn't have a team at okay. that point.
So it was just you at that
point. It was just me.
Okay,
mm-hmm. completely just me, and so. After that, everybody was like, oh, she can get you on VH1 and BT and MTV. Phones started ringing like crazy. So I see the money and I'm like, okay, come on, like join. And then I realized I need a team. But that was after I started getting all this business. So I had to slow down for a minute and didn't really structure a whole company. Like, what type of team members do I need to bring in? How's my accounting system running? How am I doing? How am I doing business with these different things? So it worked, though. It worked. I was able to get some great people, independent contractors at first, in that amount of time. And then I started really going after corporate business. And so with corporate business, I really had to learn how to play with mm-hmm. how to play with the corporate people. So
what does that mean, play with the corporate? They speak a different language?
They do. So it's terms called like net 30, net 60, net 90.
Yep.
Which means you don't get paid till 30, 60, 90 days till after you did the project. And that in itself is interesting for an entrepreneur, especially God. If you're small. If you're big, you have your Amex credit card, you can float your company, you have investors, all these different things. But if I do the work now, I need the money now.
Yes, I get it. I'm waiting on some checks right now.
Right,
come on,
right.
freelance.
So it was a learning process when I started going after corporations. But then I just really had some great people that helped me structure my company even better to be able to withstand that. And so now I would say probably about 65% of our business is large corporations. Mm-hmm. And it's easier because it's long-term contracts and you get to really develop together. Because it's hard to make PR magic in like 2 or 3 months, which is what a lot of people have the budget for. They're uh-huh. like, let's give this a shot for 3 months. But in 3 months, it's hard to build that story and that traction. Mm-hmm. So with the corporations, we would get year-long, two-year-long, three-year-long contracts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's still, the corporation work is still going well for
yes.
you now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you talked about structuring your business, did you do research on that, or do you reach out to someone else to help you structure your business once you started gaining all of these new clients after the Three Brown Girls?
It was a multitude. So once, after the business started taking off, I realized that I knew a lot about PR and I knew a lot about marketing, but I didn't know a lot about my business. So I met with the Small Business Association of Georgia.
Okay.
And they took me through a lot of different things. And then I just kind of clung on to people that I saw who were building large businesses and how they were doing that. So from like Flowers Communications to even with Edelman, what was their infrastructure, those type of things. Because I knew.
So you went after big corporations
yeah,
to model your business.
Then, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I knew back then that I didn't want to be stuck in a small sector of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I really took the time to understand how to run a business. And then from there, I got better connections. Like, you know, they say when you start to change your frequency and your vibration, the right type of people will start to come to you. So I ended up getting an amazing accountant, and I didn't even realize how much of an accountant plays a role in your business transactions. I thought they just handle your books and you keep it moving, but this accountant was long term. Like, she saw what I was trying to do and helped me structure things so I could apply for different things and how to pay in quarterly on your taxes so you're not hit with long things in the end. Mm-hmm. And just a lot of different insight that she had to help me take the business to the next level. And then she connected me with financial experts that helped me to really understand how to manage cash flow, how to set up certain things in my business to be able to do business at that level. And so I was just really blessed with starting to meet those type of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What happens when, I know, because you and I, we worked together mm-hmm. when I was doing my thing on Hot 107.9. When you have clients like me, because we had to stop working together mm-hmm. because I lost right. my job. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. how do you bounce back from losing a client?
I think for me, I've never gotten comfortable in the world of entrepreneurship. I'm always thinking some money could get lost.
Okay.
So I'm always way ahead of it. I'm always taking on way more projects. I'm in projects, working on finding next projects, getting next projects, submitting RFP proposals, doing those type of things. I'm never just like sitting back like,
I got
some clients, I'm good to go. Because the big corporations, they freeze accounts a lot and things happen. Some of the clients we were working with after the presidential election, their funding has changed.
Yeah.
You just never can be relaxed. So I think whether you're an entrepreneur or working for someone, you can never 100% guarantee, you know, what the fate lies for you. But what you can do as an entrepreneur is just keep being ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Keep trying to figure out what's next, what industries are doing good. When the economy was bad for a while, I remember we were working with, we had a large beauty sector to the PR side, and we were working with a lot of big salons and those type of things. And that was a time where everybody was hurting financially. So doing your hair at home, going natural, all those things became, it was a necessity yeah. for a lot of women. Uh-huh. It's like, I don't have the money to sit in the salon all right. the time drinking champagne. I'm going to get my little thing at the store. I'm going to right. get my kit and I'm going to go home. And so then we started picking up hair care product companies, and they were thriving. Their financials were doing great. So it was just like being ahead of the game in regards to what industries are not affected by it and which ones are.
How often do you do research on the marketplace? Is it something that you do quarterly? Is it something that you stay abreast of on a daily basis? How do you do that?
I would definitely say on a daily basis. Okay. I subscribe to any and everything you could think of, from Mashable to just New York Times, to CNN, to trendreporter.com, trends.com, just so many different things to figure it out. Because if you get left behind, and especially when you're responsible for paying yourself, if you get left behind, then it could just wipe you out so quickly. A lot of the, when I got into the world of PR, it was right on the cusp of social media becoming important. But my predecessors are like, social media is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are closed down.
Yeah. Because they didn't tap into.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The social media world.
And it's lots of people who are like, well, I can't fool with all those different things. I don't think you have to fool with all of them, but I think you have to be aware and know. Like, you need to at least know that Insta story is out there and people are driving large amounts of e-commerce and business through it. And how are they doing it? And then that way, if you choose to get into it or not, that's up to you. But at least you're understanding how the mindset of purchasers are working.
Do you teach that whole e-commerce Insta story life too? Or
I don't, because I don't profess to be the greatest at it. But actually, you know who's really good is a mutual friend of ours, AJ.
Yes.
Yeah, he lives and dies for it. But the thing is, the reason I wouldn't teach it is because you have to be so plugged into it, because it changes daily.
Mm-hmm.
So like running Facebook ads, you can run them one way and then the platform might change next week.
Man.
And so what you could be teaching could be outdated in 7 days.
My goodness.
So people who live in that space, like a AJ or Sabrina with October Social, or just those people who this is what they do all the time. Kristen with the Biz Techpreneur, just a lot of those people, they live it.
They live and breathe it.
Sip it, whatever it is. But they stay on top of those things all the time. And so I make sure I keep those type of people in my council to let me know, like, YouTube now, YouTube is going into a more streaming platform, mm-hmm. and you can make so much money off of that, you know, and that's even a suggestion for you.
Yeah, like, I know. That's next for us, YouTube, yeah. That's
right, next, and yeah. So you have YouTube Red, and you have YouTube sub platforms and all these different things that people are making crazy money off of it. And you can hate on millennials all you want to, but these kids have got it figured out.
Yes, they do.
Like, they have it figured out how to collect a multiple coin in multiple different ways from just waking up and being themselves. They're doing it in a professional way, and professional cameras. I can't say the content, it's just them,
yeah.
You know, but in their own natural organic self, but they have all the infrastructures in place. Mm-hmm. And when you do, you thrive.
Yeah, they are mm-hmm. doing it. They are mm-hmm. definitely doing it. You are from Atlanta, Georgia, ATL, Georgia. What did we do for you? Why have you decided, like, for me, people like, you never left Atlanta. You actually went to school here.
Yes.
And you stayed here. You could have easily gone to a New York or LA. Why did you decide to build all of your businesses here?
I think that, I travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that I probably travel 60% of the year. And at first when I was younger, I was like, I gotta go to New York. I gotta go to LA. But it's saturated mm-hmm. there. It's already been done. Every idea you thought of has been done a million times under the sun. And the level of appreciation for those ideas is not there. And the cost of living for an entrepreneur is almost not there. You know?
It was way too high.
So I felt like it was an episode that you did earlier with Aisha where you said bloom where you're planted.
Yes.
But I feel like that was the core. It's so much opportunity in the city of Atlanta if you're serious.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really serious about doing business. And I love this city.
Yeah.
Like, I really love it. And it wasn't on the radar when we were meeting with a lot of corporations, and they would, like, we did a project with Xbox. And their target was African-American men. And we were going to New York, Miami, Chicago. And I was like, your target is African-American men, and we're not going to Atlanta? And they were like, well, you know, we don't feel like our numbers will be strong there, some other things. We ended up convincing them to come to Atlanta. It was the most celebrity-oriented stop that they had. Their numbers were through the roof. Everyone went crazy over it. We surrounded around BET Awards. This was a few years ago.
Oh, that was a brilliant idea. Right. You knew what you were doing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course you did.
And it ended up changing the game. So now they do so much in Atlanta. But I think it takes, I use the example of if you have your child in school and you can either take them out of the district and put them in a private school and your district will never get better, or you can figure out how to fight for what's deserved in your own district.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do that for Atlanta all the time. I feel like when I go out and I get business and I talk to people, I'm always fighting to bring things to Atlanta because the culture here is amazing.
Yes.
And what the magic here is amazing. What can happen?
What do you think, or how do you think your approach is different being that you're from Atlanta?
I think I really understand how Atlanta works.
Okay.
So
the new and the old. Yeah.
And I think that I have an understanding of the DNA of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will come in and figure that Atlanta's will be excited about anything.
No.
And we'll just do this, and it's a typical Southern state, and people will just be happy that this happened, and that event will be low attended, or nobody will be there, mm-hmm. or the business will close quickly, or, you know, those different things. It's a relationship oriented city.
Yes.
First and foremost. And it takes really understanding the infrastructure to succeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, we're glad that you are living and breathing Atlanta and bringing, you know, different businesses and different clients and all different events here. That's great because you understand the pulse of the city.
Thank you. You know, I had Tiwa
and I talked a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
We had dinner or lunch at P.F. Chang's at Cumberland Mall. And I was like, how many businesses do you have? And he was like, you know, in his Nigerian / British accent, he's like, oh, about 13. And I'm like, really? And this is before I really stepped into the entrepreneurial space. I had my nonprofit, but really just before Cool Soar and all these other different things.
Mm-hmm.
But How many businesses do you have, Nicole? That is the question. That was the preface for this question.
Definitely not 13 like Tiwa. Tiwa is the international man.
Yeah, man, he's the truth.
And actually, what's funny is me and Tiwa have known each other since college.
Wow.
But so right now I have the Garden Circle PR, which is like my bread and butter for mm-hmm. everything. I have launched 100 Female Entrepreneurs,
yes.
which is an online digital business league to help women just through the use of curriculum, live events, and access to other entrepreneurs, gives them a chance to scale up, to get to the next level of mm-hmm. what they're doing. I have Open for Business, which is under 100 Female Entrepreneurs, but it's a co-working space in Atlanta that's dedicated to female entrepreneurs. And it's been a lot of magic that's happening there, so I'm very excited.
I need to come. I need to make my way over there. I know.
You
I need to make my way over there.
I think you'll
there.
Love it.
I'm sure
it
would.
And it's pink.
And it's pink.
And I ventured out into the beauty space. So I had a nail salon, but I sold it.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought you just got that. No, how long did you have the nail salon?
2 years.
2 years. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay.
I sold it. I still own the rights to the name. And so we're in a licensing agreement.
Okay.
So I still benefit from it. But yeah, so that was a venture. And then that's it for right
okay.
now.
Okay. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Let's talk mm-hmm. about 100 Female Entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
I love the concept.
Thank
How
you.
Did you come up with that idea?
So for me, what was happening is we're kind of in a world where everything looks so great on social media.
It does.
And
it's the highlight reel.
Right. And so even through entrepreneurship, it was looking so great. And I was like, okay, so everybody just wakes up and secures a bag and does these different things. But how are you really getting to your level? I'm I don't want to say I'm blunt, but I will sit down with people and I'll say, well, how did you really get to this level with your business? I have no shyness about myself in asking that. Like, how are you making this work for you? Or how are you getting clients? Or how are you building market share? And what was being told to me would be so different than what's being displayed through these different platforms. And I felt like, well, it's key for women to be able to tell other women that it took all of this to get to what you're seeing.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, you know, a cute little campaign or this. It's me, you know, I worked a small job during this time to get this, or I met with this investor to make this happen, or I was blessed to get this grant. And sharing that type of knowledge in other communities is shared so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in these different Facebook groups and culturally wise, it's like so much information being spread in other groups. Like, do this and you can get this grant money, do that and you can apply to be in this incubator and get this amount of money, just so freely.
I see where you're going with mm-hmm. this. So when it comes to our groups,
it was held on so tight. You know, there wasn't this platform that everyone could just share this information, and in a way of applying synergy to really have everybody working with each other for the ultimate goal. And so I saw that void there and really wanted to help build that void. All these empowerment groups that are starting, where's a hub that everybody can share their information?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All of these curriculums that are transpiring, where's a hub that can say, hey, this is, that gives some type of rating standard to it, to make sure that people are really, before they're asking for all your money, they're really doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
How can resources and information be shared? How can women have a chance to, what we do, because since we live in Atlanta, but I know that your listeners are all over, but cities like Atlanta will build a false pretense. It's so many Black girl bosses here, you feel like that's the norm across the nation.
Yeah, right.
But when I would travel, I would see such a void of areas and opportunities where women could just get together, connect, and figure out how to build with each other with some type of guidance in place or something of that nature. And so I was very passionate about wanting to start 100 Female Entrepreneurs to help fill that void and fill that gap. And then outside of the fluff, providing some real stuff, like mm-hmm. some real curriculum, real, we have a podcast too. It's called Make Me More Money.
Right, right.
As well. And bringing on people. And we have a segment on the podcast where we're like, okay, so how do you really make your money? Like, what is the how? You not the philosophy, not you have to get your mind together, you gotta believe in yourself.
You don't want
to
hear it. You want tangible things.
Right. Like
you want
how
tangible things.
So you got a graphic designer. How do you put them on a monthly retainer? Do you do yearly projects with them? Or we see that you're a blogger and you have all these fashion posts every day. Do you really wake up like that every day? Or how are you doing it? And they're saying, well, I'll spend one day from top to bottom, I'll batch shoot out, all my outfits for the next 5 months, and that's the content I'll use over and over again. That type of stuff can give another woman so much relief on stress. Like, they're trying to match what they're seeing you do. They're not seeing the hacks.
They're trying to match the outcome.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't match the outcome.
And they're not seeing the hacks that you're putting out there. And why aren't you letting your fellow entrepreneurs know these type of hacks? Because somebody let you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this stuff we didn't create. We just got around the right people that really helped us, level up.
Yeah.
And so why do we hold on to that information so tightly? Why don't we share that information amongst each other? Because to be honest, we all have to move together as a group to get that real coin, to get to the next level. It's never going to be great if one black woman is doing it big and mm-hmm. everybody else isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, that only opens up a small crack. Like the whole door needs to come down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man. So, and coming up soon, you have Make Me More Money Digital Curriculum.
Yes.
Tell everybody about that. It launches May the 8th. Early enrollment begins now.
Mm-hmm.
Make Me More Money dot money.
Make Me More dot money.
Oh, Make Me More dot. Okay. Yes. Make Me More dot money.
Correct.
Got it.
Yes.
Yep. I want more information on this. Give me a synopsis of what this course is going to be like.
Well, this course it'll really break down everything that we talked about today. Mm-hmm. How to manage your cash flow, how to figure out who your ideal client is and how to go after them, how to price yourself correctly. How to really monetize what it is you're doing, how to not leave dollars on the table. So for many people, when we get into certain dreams, aspirations, we become very tunnel vision or singular, but there's probably 4 or 5 different ways you can make money off of the thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
Which was just why I was talking to you. I was like, hey, you have a podcast. That could be the YouTube red on the side. And that could be, you can
We're going to talk after this. I need my crash course before the course. Okay. Yes.
But you can multiply that mm-hmm. in so many different ways and really put that out there. And then even we talk about like your exit plan through or how to sell a business. So for me, when I got to the point of selling businesses and doing those things, I had to work with very expensive legal counsel and those things to get things together. But these are things you could be working on the whole time. Like, how do you evaluate your business? And are you keeping your record straight the whole time? Because the goal should be for some of your businesses to sell them.
Yeah.
Right. If you can triple, quadruple, whatever the amount is you put into it, you don't want to emotionally hang on to things.
Is that what you did? Did you know going into the nail business that you were going to sell it?
Oh, yeah,
it?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
knew that.
Okay. Mm-hmm, because that wasn't... life passion.
That's not your passion.
Yeah. That was a way to impact the community that I came from and then also flip it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it.
And so that was the goal with that. But knowing that, then you keep your financials, you can't commingle your bills. You can't do a lot of those things if you plan on selling it. That salesperson is going to want to come in. They're going to be like, send me your bank statements, all of them. Send me your expenses versus, income, any debt that you have, all of those different things. What does your payroll look like? I could pull all these reports up immediately, and our accountant could put this together in one day and send it over. But that's because we started on point.
Yeah. You went in knowing what to do because you knew the outcome.
And I can't say that. So with my first business, the Garner Circle, I did not start that right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done things retrospectively now?
Yes, I had to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started meeting good people and those type of things that helped me put those things in place.
Okay.
But I knew if I didn't start that one right, there's plenty of other entrepreneurs who are just just opening the doors, but not putting everything in place. And it makes it hard for you. If you ever want to apply for a loan, if you ever want to sell your business, if you ever want to move on from out of your business, you want to see some, your money. You want to see your money come back. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just start it wrong, open it, close the doors, lose the 10, 20, 30,000 they put into it and just chuck it up to being a loss. Mm-hmm. But that's just because you just didn't do it right from the beginning.
So many people can benefit from MakeMeMore.money coming up on May the 8th. So make sure you log on to the website and get enrolled today. I plan on being a part of that because, yeah, I'm letting money out the door. It's okay, though. We're going to make it work. We're going to make it happen. All right. In spring 2006, you became a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Did Alpha Kappa Alpha choose you or did you choose Alpha Kappa Alpha?
It's a multitude of ways.
Okay. Tell me, please.
My journey started to Alpha Kappa Alpha. I would say in third grade.
Okay.
I had a teacher that I truly admired, and she was a soror, and she started to plant those seeds in me very early. This was third grade.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 8-year-old.
Yeah. And a lot of the women that have made some of the largest impacts on my life have been AKAs.
Okay.
And I just think that was my destiny because of that. Mm-hmm. And it's been life-changing for me.
Right.
The sisterhood has been life-changing for me. Even outside of that, just things I've been able to do within the sorority have been great platforms for confidence and being able to give back in a larger sector. And it's always immediate love.
So. Always. always. Mm-hmm. Top High Omega chapter. You're still current in that chapter.
Yes,
financially.
Correct.
Good. That's a good thing. Are you still close to your line sisters?
I am.
Yeah,
I am.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
How many of y'all was it?
23.
That's
yes.
good.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
How many was on your line?
Girl, you ain't ready for that black school line. 54, baby. Okay. 54.
Yeah, well that's the fam you way.
That's the fam you way. That's just how we do it. Awesome. What is your definition of cool, Nicole?
Definition of cool is, I guess it's coming from within.
Yeah.
Like it's not being a clone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not looking to the outside for whatever it is. It's like you're very comfortable with yourself.
Yeah.
And you're very... you're very bold with the world and letting them know this is how you get down.
Yeah.
So I think cool could be from the geekiest person you meet to the celebrity person you meet. Anytime I see someone who's just really comfortable with being themselves, I'm like, darn, they're so cool.
So cool. Yeah. You know what? The great thing about you and every setting that I've seen you in, and most of them have been business settings. Happy we could just hang out regularly a couple of months ago. How do you remain so cool? Because those events can be highly stressful. Anything can happen, but I've never seen you lose your cool. Maybe you do it behind closed doors, but how do you keep your level of cool?
For me, it's not that serious.
Okay.
So and that could be, you know, being from Atlanta, but I just feel like Atlanta people are cooler people.
Man, I try to tell people that all time. I tell them that all time, Nicole. I do.
It's just I'm not spastic in life. You know, it's just not that serious. So when events go wrong, you're in the business of stuff not being 100% in your control. So if it goes wrong, if it's something I can immediately remedy, I can. If I can't, then we got to just figure out who's getting return money or whatever has to happen. But I do these things too often that it would give me a stress attack if I, you know, overanalyzed it. And yeah, I'm not so caught up in a lot of the things either. You know, like when it comes to you being in business, you're going to make some enemies. Some people are not going to like you.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've always told myself is they don't like what something represents. It's not you personally.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, like if they can't, if you're doing an event and they can't get into an event, they're gonna be like, I hate Rashawn.
Mm-hmm.
But they hate the moment that they felt like they weren't able to get into your event or whatever that made them feel internally. They don't know anything about you.
Right.
So I would be like, people have a bad taste in their mouth. You don't know me. Mm-hmm. you don't even know like my family or where I'm from or any of those things. It was that moment that didn't sit well with you. Right. So I just don't take it personal. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if they do it to every large corporation that's out there, any corporation, you go to Coca-Cola's website or, I mean, Pepsi's going through it right now, but any corporation, it's good feedback and it's bad feedback. And it's because of how that person felt in that moment. And they attribute that to whoever could be kind of tangible to them.
Yeah.
What I try to do is make sure that I personally don't ever do wrong to people. Like I make sure that if you're supposed to get paid, you get paid. If I gave you my word on something, I live up to it. So yeah. I feel very comfortable with how I engage the world from a business side. I feel like I come through with what I said I'm going to come through with. So outside of that, it's particulars that you can't control.
Yeah, yeah. What do you do for Nicole?
For
you,
like,
yourself, what do you do for yourself outside of, you know, because you're always serving other people, whether it's, you know, through the Garner Circle, 100 female entrepreneurs, like you're always serving other people. What do you do for yourself?
Well, I'm very big into self-care. So one is yoga is something very big for me.
Okay.
So I started getting into yoga a lot. I started surrounding myself more and more with women who are just holistic in mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can get burnt. You can surround yourself around people who want to pull from you a lot. And so I started to be very intentional about putting myself around people who are just holistic in mindset. Just wanted to see other women be happy, healthy, and win. Not even just in business, but in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that a lot. I travel. Yeah. Like travel is how I can press the reset button.
Okay.
I don't know if you had. Have you had Shanti?
I haven't had Shanti on. We're launching Cool People soon. She'll be on then. Yeah.
Yeah. So she always talks about the press reset.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
That's great that she's branded that. Where you say press reset and you think of her.
Yeah.
But yeah. So travel is how I press the reset button.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, thank you. You pressed the reset button today because you sat down and talked with me and you weren't working or managing an event. So that's a good thing. How can people find you, Nicole?
So social media wise, my personal is I am Garner Scott. And that's IamGarnerScott. Scott. For 100 female entrepreneurs is at 100 females with the S. The website is 100femaleentrepreneurs.com. And then, of course, if you're interested in the curriculum, it's makememore.money.
Makememore.money. This girl is doing it. She is definitely doing it. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. I think you have given people somewhat of a snippet of what the course will be like.
Yes.
So we're really excited about it. And nothing but continued success to you and all of your businesses and whatever is next for you, let me know.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nicole Garner Scott, everybody.
Hi, my name is Nicole Garner Scott, and I am a serial entrepreneur and founder of 100 Female Entrepreneurs. And I am a cool sorority of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.